of living my prayer for truth. I call it my prayer, it is simple and clear. It wants me to give and receive love. I call in the light to make everything right and show me the way to just be love. And show me the way to just be love.
Hello and welcome to the Rewire Your Attachment Style podcast. This is Maya Diamond, and I'm so excited to speak with a Rewire for Love one-on-one program graduate, Saul, today. Welcome, Saul.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Oh, so wonderful to have you. So I would love to start out with, tell me, when you first started the program, where were you in terms of your attachment style, your love and relationship life? How were you feeling? And yeah, what was going on?
So I was pretty depressed coming into it. I didn't really understand. I had just come into contact with attachment style. So I'd been doing a lot of reading, listening to podcasts. There was just a lot that was resonating with me. So it was probably, you know, maybe I had a month or less of kind of research in that area. As far as, you know, love, relationship, life, it was difficult. I think in retrospect, it's, you know, kind of very easy to see kind of all the bad things that were going on, just because neither of us really understood what the issues were. I had been spending, I think, most of our marriage trying to figure out what was wrong, because things changed very, very early in the marriage. But with kids and different jobs, it was difficult to figure out what the issue was. So yeah, at that time I wasn't really the depression took the form of like just not feeling anything, which also made it kind of difficult to address. I always just assumed like depression was, I can't get out of bed, it's life is too hard. And I was still a very like high functioning person, was able to get to work, get promoted. So I didn't realize there were various forms of depression to even identify it as that. But that's kind of where I was, where I, you know, could remember feeling good and all these things I used to enjoy, and just was kind of in a state of, I didn't really care what happened. It didn't seem like anything mattered, which was pretty difficult.
Yeah. So, so challenging. And in terms of your attachment style, when you entered, what would you say what was the main insecure attachment style that you were having challenges with internally?
Oh, I was very much anxiously attached. That was the form that it took for me. So constantly trying to feel loved, extract that, you know, kind of from my wife, was doing a great job. It's just, I didn't feel anything. And so it just wasn't doing much for me.
Yeah. And what was one of the biggest breakthroughs that you had in terms of our work together?
I think the single biggest breakthrough was just identifying that all of these issues didn't, you know, like stem from my relationship with my wife, but were way back in my past, particularly the relationship I had with my father. Once, you know, we talked about that and did some meditations on, you know, like a healthy male figure, having that as a child, that's when things, you know, like really changed. I think a week of doing that meditation just finally surfaced that I unknowingly had anchored basically all of who I was on the things that my dad told me, the way he treated me. And I'd say I'm like a reasonably emotionally intelligent person. So that made it easy to just see that it was like the dumbest thing, you know, I could do. Like, he is a emotionally stunted person. Why I had put so much into that just didn't make sense. So that when I had that, you know, crystal clear thought in my mind, it's just things completely changed. And it was like this emotional block was removed. And I was able to just kind of start to move forward much more quickly as far as, you know, healing and getting into a better state of mind and a bunch of other things that just followed along with that.
Yeah. How did that affect like your how did that doing that deep healing work around your relationship with your dad and really understanding that and shifting that, which of course then shifted your relationship with yourself. How did that affect like your self-esteem and your confidence as well as not taking things as personally in your relationship?
I mean, it was just a 180 for me. I had an immense amount of more confidence, I would say. I don't know relative to other people, but from my personal experience, that had changed drastically. I felt much more secure. It was night and day as far as like feeling loved from my wife. It's just a bunch of stuff came rushing in. You know, it wasn't that I started to feel her love as we interacted. It was just 14 years of stuff she had been doing finally started like hitting me. You know, so that was great. That helped me move forward.
Yeah, that's so, so huge. I just want to highlight that for everyone listening. So it's like your ability to receive love deeply, deeply shifted. And so you were able to receive the love that was already coming and actually take it in, which then is obviously going to feel better for both of you, not just you, but also her, both of you, for both people in the relationship. And, but also moving forward, just being able to continually to receive more in the dynamic allows for a lot more flow of love between the two of you to run through the relationship.
Yeah, I would say it affected my wife just as much as I did. I mean, I don't know that we would have like recognized our relationship today versus eight months ago. It just improved drastically for both of us.
Yeah, that's so, so huge that one person, this is such a great example for people to hear, which is one person saying, okay, I'm committed to doing this work. I'm going to focus, you know, meeting with Maya weekly, doing the modules, I'm going to focus and do the work. And then naturally, as a result, which is what we see with the exactly all the people that come in already in relationships, is that exactly the relationship improves significantly because you're doing the work. And so that's such a huge thing. Not to say that that always happens, because I want to make sure I'm not saying that, but a lot of times that happens. And it's because of that exactly deep commitment and openness and willingness of you, you know, committing to doing this work. And also, I really want to highlight this for the men who are listening, because it's not as common for, I think in general, it's not as accepted or positively supported or common for, you know, men to be doing this kind of personal and spiritual growth work. And so it's really courageous for you to do this work. It's really, you know, just exactly a huge benefit to you. And that shift, you know, I will just speak to that shift, you know, I would say it was one of the unintended consequences of working on your attachment style, doing the coaching work, doing the modules, working on your relationship with your parents, was that the depression naturally subsided and went away. And that's such a huge, huge thing, because then exactly this weight was lifted. You're feeling more confident, more happiness, more joy, and being able to receive more and see your partner more clearly and how she was really giving to you.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I'm sure it is. Yeah. Difficult in classic male culture to go in and do the work. It didn't hurt that I was fairly miserable, but yeah, I can definitely see, like, I'm fairly certain my dad is avoidant, and it's just much easier to go through life and just not engage with the problems, even if you can see the damage being done around you.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, so what were the three biggest shifts you would say that you had from being in this program, if you had to kind of distill it down?
I think I had just a, me- a much better understanding of the parent-child dynamic and just what goes on in a child's mind and how they see the world, which is essentially just anchored on their parents and what they're telling them about themselves. And so that was a pretty big and important shift. I have four kids myself, and so that was very insightful to kind of see that, because I think throughout our entire marriage, I never once thought that the issues stemmed from childhood. I felt like I had a good childhood, went well, and that it was normal. I grew up in like a blue collar neighborhood and would see, you know, go to friends' house and see their dad yelling at them and just, you know, just think everything's normal.
Right.
So that was good to better understand that, and to, you know, again, doing the healthy male figure meditation and just being able to get in the mindset of being, you know, my younger self and feeling like being able to feel how good it feels. You have that engagement and just having that kind of open to my mind, because I was perpetuating a lot of harm, I think, to my own kids, just because there were so many things that were normalized for me as a kid. And I just thought to do certain things. I didn't know things would feel good because they just weren't done to me.
Right.
And I was very focused on like the major things that my dad was doing wrong, which were the only things I could probably recognize as a child, of just like, oh, it's probably not good to yell or, you know, say mean things, or, you know, not be around. I was very focused on those things and definitely miss a whole bunch of other very subtle things that are very harmful to me and that I was perpetuating to my own kids unknowingly. So yeah, that was probably one of the more important ones for me, just where I am in life.
Yep.
Another one would just be, you know, like being able to feel again was a great shift. It was helpful, like, to look forward to things again. To have fun, like to be able to go out and just laugh and you know, have that feeling of that was a good time. I look forward to doing that again. Just having that experience again, you know, was great. I think before I just went through the motions and I was good at smiling and laughing just because for a long time in my life I had done that and it was easy to go through the motions, but inside there was just nothing happening. Feeling was huge. It's helped in so many ways, not only just to like make me feel better, but with my children, with my wife, with family members, it's been very, very useful. And then I think, you know, another shift is just being more mindful of the thought patterns that I have and just kind of trying to dig in as I notice them and just kind of explore. I think the experience just gave me more insight into, you know, like what are things that are potentially coming from childhood that have made me this way. So I was able to take kind of like a lot of the things that we did and now just reapply it to all kinds of other things. You know, I'm not like 100% better. There's definitely like a lot of baggage, but I feel like I have the tool to now like take stuff, you know, out of the bag and examine it. And, oh, you know, like, okay, this is where this comes from. You know, this is the way I was treated. These were the circumstances I grew up in. And that's why I'm bad at asking, you know, or getting my needs met. I'm just very bad at asking for it because of the circumstances I grew up in. And now that I understand it, it's either gives me, you know, that concreteness to know what I need to change, or sometimes it's just now that I know why, it can just kind of disappear. You know, it's like, oh, that's silly. I don't need to do that. I don't need to be afraid of these things because it's just not true. Like my wife's not you know, going to reject me in the sense of like, this marriage is over. I mean, there's always, you know, like maybe there's pushback on certain things, but it's still like, we're well anchored in our love, and it doesn't have to be so destabilizing like it would have been before.
Yeah, that's huge. Huge.
Yeah, so those are a few things that have shifted for me.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And yeah, what would you say to a man who's listening and who has been thinking about taking this leap of working with me one-on-one and doing the program, doing these modules, but maybe is kind of, you know, maybe a part of them, maybe they're feeling a little bit hesitant, fearful, unsure about making this level of commitment, like, wow, I'm going to really have to focus. I'm going to have to do these sessions every week. I'm going to have to do this deeper healing work, you know, feeling the feelings, working with the emotional layers of relationships, both currently and from my childhood, make new behaviors, do the homework. Like, yeah, what would you say to someone who's thinking about it, but also is a little bit hesitant or fearful because it is a big time and energy and commitment. And this isn't like, you know, in our culture, men are very programmed and conditioned to really focus on work and being successful and making money and doing this work. It's not about that. It's really about the internal world. So what would you say to someone who's kind of thinking about it, but also maybe unsure?
I think the hard part is just not knowing how good things can be. Oftentimes, if you could get a taste of, you know, how great things are going to be, that would be a very easy motivator. You know, for me, it was very painful. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are in a very painful state and, you know, they're just pushing through it, or they're finding other ways to cope, or, you know, they're avoidant and it's just not something that enters their mind. They feel like life is going well, but it's something where it's like, you just don't know how much better life could be, which I think is the hard part. But I see it as just kind of like the, you know, you have to put your oxygen mask on first, and you'll be so much better well-equipped to help, you know, not only yourself, but everyone around you. And, you know, I just see the gains in every aspect of my life, not only just how I'm personally feeling, but, you know, in my marriage, in my relationship with my kids, and, you know, like for sure in every other facet of life, you know, with work, you're just much more capable of, you know, getting stuff done or having a healthy view of things. I think I spent a good chunk of time just burnt out from work, but I couldn't feel anything. So I just didn't really know that I had gotten burnt out. And there were so many other parts of just like my personality that were not great, working in kind of like a high demand environment. You know, it was just, it, a lot of the times those places do require like self-confidence. And, you know, if you don't have that, it's, you know, some of these places are already intimidating, you know, and if you lack self-confidence because of things that happened in your past, just compounds the problem, and
right,
and can definitely, I think, in, I'm sure in many cases, it just leads to, you know, people failing, getting fired, which makes things even worse. You know, and so you can just feel like you're probably spiraling down. And, you know, again, there's so many returns in store if you just invest the time, invest the money to do the work. You know, I'm pretty sure it will all come back to me, you know, tenfold, because a more capable person, you know, being able to feel, being in a much healthier and happier state, I feel like I have the capacity to do so much more than I was able to before. Before, I was really just focused on getting to retirement as soon as I could, just to stop and just to like be done with life, really.
Right.
You know, like not a great mindset to have. And it's definitely not that way anymore.
Yeah. Wow. So huge. Thank you for sharing all of that. And exactly. I just love hearing about how much exactly it, you know, not only affected you, your wife, but also your relationship with your kids, and then also relationship with work and being able to show up in more confident ways and more clear and more grounded and more excited and happy to be there. That's so, so huge. I'm wondering, in terms of, for the people who haven't worked with me, and there's so many coaches out there, what do you think is unique in terms of the way that I show up as a coach that makes this work really possible and makes the work have the results that they do?
I mean, I think it was important to, you know, like, I feel like you were a very approachable and caring person and were willing to try, you know, a bunch of stuff. And I think that was important because I definitely came in with a bit of trepidation. It was kind of just, I was at an extremely low point and I was like, if this can help me, you know, great. I'm willing to try anything, you know, and honestly, I wish, you know, it hadn't come to that. I could see that, you know, could be a common experience for many, that it's like, let's wait till it's just really bad before we go into one of these programs. So, you know, and maybe that was useful, just to be in a state where it's like, I'm not here to judge what's going on. I'm not here to question things. I'm just here to be open. And if it's gonna help, that will be useful. And I think that was, you know, like, very, very important. I think I can definitely be a critical person because I had a critical upbringing, and just being able to, like, put that to rest for a little bit, I think just allowed me the openness to work with you and to just try things out, you know, and not be so concerned about what I thought about things.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in retrospect is kind of silly. Like, I'm not a therapist. I'm not trained in any of this stuff. I'm, you know, an armchair psychologist that's read, you know, a handful of books, but it doesn't make up for the actual, like, experience of working with other people and having that insight and being able to recognize the subtle clues or cues that, you know, you can pick up on and say, oh, we should probably try this out, or we should shift to this. I think that was extremely useful. You know, and it is hard. I think it's just really important to kind of have that open mind about things. I remember when you were, you know, like, pitching the father meditation, and I just remember being very skeptical because I was like, well, I can't replace all the memories I have of my dad. You know, like, that's just, I can't imagine that there's, you know, I'm going to replace him with some healthier figure. And I think at the end of the day, that wasn't the point, but that was just a misconception that I had. And it was a good thing that I, you know, wasn't super anchored on that. I was just willing to, you know, whatever, I'm going to push through this and we'll see what happens. And I mean, thank goodness I did, because that was, like, the key to unlocking so much stuff. It wasn't about, you know, like, trying to pretend like my childhood didn't happen. It was just trying to get some insight into how things could have been better, get some insight into, you know, why I feel the way I do. And that, you know, that contrast of, like, here's a healthy male figure, which I would struggle to even, you know, like, describe at that point, because I just didn't know what it looked like.
Yeah.
It resonated with me and all of a sudden opened up a whole bunch of stuff for me.
Yeah. Beautiful. And so, yeah, I love how you're speaking to this open-mindedness, because, you know, I've been coaching, doing this work for 6.5 years. And so I've been kind of tracking, like, what are the themes that really help clients, you know, get results the most? And that's one theme in the client, right? There's all the things. This is a co-creative process, which I love about coaching. It's really co-creative. And so one of the things in the client is that, just that openness. Exactly. I'm going to try this. Who knows if it's going to work or not? And I might have some skepticism, but I'm just going to let that be and just try it with openness. And it's just amazing what happens with that. It's such a good lesson in so many things in life, when there is a teacher or a coach or a guide or a healer, even, to just have that, you've said yes to have that openness because it allows the work to work that much better. And so I love that you're speaking to that, that, you know, you had some skepticism, which is so, so normal and a part of the process too, exactly. And that level of openness that you were able to have also allowed for your mind and body and spirit to receive kind of this piece around reception that we're talking about, to receive the medicine, to receive the new kind of wiring. Read this podcast, Rewire Attachment Style. It's like we're rewiring. And I also wanted to name just for the listeners that exactly because I've been doing this work for so long, I have all these different tools. And so when we do this one-on-one work, but also in the group coaching program, because we're also doing, you know, one-on-one coaching, but it's in a group. But either way, we're kind of, you know, me as well as the other coaches, if you're in the group, we're really kind of honing in on the person, honing in on you and saying, like, what is going to help you the most? What is going to move the needle for you the most? And that's that individualized, specific attention that's so, so powerful because I'm really using my intuition as well as all my skills and tools and knowledge to help you move forward in the best way possible. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just note that I think, you know, throughout this process, we did try, you know, several things before we got to the thing that worked.
Yeah.
And so there is some, like, you know, patience and persistence because, yes. You know, like we did, what was it? The affirmations. And I, you know, I tried that and I was just like, there's nothing happening here. And it's, you know, it's not that they didn't work. It just wasn't the right thing because post my own personal breakthrough, like daily affirmations are like a very powerful thing. Wasn't the mindset to, and be effective. And maybe someone else's circumstances would have lent themselves to that being more useful than mine. But
yeah,
it is an important thing to remember that just because one or two things or three things aren't working doesn't mean you won't eventually get to something that does work. You know, it's just we over-anchor on failure and just instead of seeing it as like this, that is the path to success is failure.
Beautiful. I love that. Such wise words. So, and yeah, I'm curious in terms of just to kind of, because exactly a lot of people do come into the program already in a relationship. So yeah, I'm curious, what do you feel like? Well, if you could just describe, yeah, what your relationship feels like now, what you're really enjoying, what feels possible now that you've done this work. Yeah, also for just the listeners, what it feels like to be in a secure bond, because it, you know, the security has really increased with your internal, as your internal security increased, the security of the relationship increased, but you were also able to more see the ways that it was secure, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I can clearly see all the positive things that were happening, you know, especially from my wife's end and all the things that she was doing, you know, to love me. And I can also like see very clearly like that the bad things that were happening. It's always interesting to go through these experiences, and then it's almost like your mind is now open to all these things you just didn't see before. I can look back over the years and be like, oh my gosh, like this you know, that was terrible. And thank goodness you stayed here with me throughout that, because I don't know at this point that I would blame you for leaving. I mean, it's very challenging. You know, I'm thankful my wife's a very understanding person and, you know, it doesn't necessarily hold, you know, like me responsible to some big degree, because it was just like I was just and unaware of what was going on and trying to figure out, you know, what was happening. But, you know, there was damage being done along the way. But we're in, you know, like a much better place now. And it just seems like we now have the tools and the momentum to kind of reach new heights as far as a relationship goes. You know, just because before there were times where I was like, maybe you're not the right person for me. Because I'm feeling like you love me.
Right.
And it was just, I just couldn't I couldn't feel it. I couldn't recognize all the ways in which she was loving me. And
loved.
Had we got divorced, I would have moved on to, you know, someone else and had the same experience until I would have realized, you know, it's not them, it's me.
Right.
That's having this problem. And so
it,
you know, I'm super, super thankful for having that insight. And, you know, we're still, you know, working through stuff. I mean, there's 14 years of just bad patterns that we establish. And, you know, that's going to take time to undo those things. But I think we're on that path where, you know, I can feel things getting better, you know, for me and for the both of us, you know, each day, every week, you know, things are getting better. And, you know, it's great. It's just when I look back on, you know, my parents' marriage, and I can see how many of my siblings, I'm the oldest of six, many of my siblings can be in the same situation because we're all perpetuating these things we normalize from childhood. You know, and life is complicated and people can get stuck in situations and, you know, kids are just kids and they're just trying to navigate the world as best they can.
Yeah.
But you come out of those things with baggage and, you know, kind of once those blinders come off, once you can see, you can begin to just identify like all the bad patterns that are happening everywhere else. And it is heartbreaking because it's like, well, like a relationship could just be the most amazing thing. You know, it can just make life totally worth living. And especially when life is just challenging. I mean, with maintaining a relationship, you know, trying to raise four kids, holding down a job, all these things is just a lot, you know? So
yeah,
being able to have somebody that really like rejuvenates you and things are going well and it's just a, you know, positive exchange of energy is really what you need to just be able to get back out there and, you know, have the patience you need for your kids so that you can help them figure things out too, you know, and just hopefully identify the struggles that they're going through because, you know, I don't have any, I don't think I'm going to be some perfect parent now. Like I will make some different set of mistakes, but I've just realized that helping my kids be good communicators, you know, so that they can let me know when something doesn't feel right, you know, is the best thing I can do because, you know, I'll make mistakes. We all do.
Yeah.
And it's important for them to know that. And to just see that there are ways to work through those things.
Yeah.
To a better state and have an enjoyable life that's worth living.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, again, I just want to thank you so much for coming on this podcast, but also for really doing this deep healing work. You know, I believe exactly it affects your future generations as well as the past generations in your family. And yeah, and it's just really, yeah, you're exactly. And for the rest of your life, you now having done this attachment work and this healing work around your childhood, as well as around your relationship and learning how to communicate better, learning how to receive better, learning how to have your boundaries better, all these things, exactly, just for the rest of your life, it gets to improve all of your relationships. And so just want to, yeah, just say yay for taking this step and doing this work. And also thank you so much for coming on and sharing so vulnerably about, like, you know, where you were and where you are now. It's really, really so, so helpful for the listeners and especially for men who are listening to know that other men are doing this work, that it's not necessarily easy, but it's worth it. And yeah, thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been, you know, the best thing I've done in my entire life. And I, you know, appreciate the work and energy and time you put into all of it. It's changed my life and it's just been immensely rewarding. It's like 100% worth it. Like I'm in a much better place than I was before where honestly, I was consigned to, you know, living a life of misery. I wanted to be dead. I didn't want to kill myself because I have a family, but that's just kind of the level of depression I was at. And that's just a miserable experience. And it's a miserable thing to look forward to, that that's going to be the rest of your life. And so it doesn't need to be, you know, it's totally worth getting out of that, however long it takes. I mean, I've been at it for 14 years and just, you know, trying to figure stuff out. And yeah, I'm an open book. I'm happy to share my experience in the hopes that in somebody else's amount of time that they have to live in, you know, like a miserable or uncomfortable situation, we don't do it enough, I think, in our culture.
Yes.
It's just, we suffer in silence. And I think the more that we share, the more that people can see that other people are struggling and maybe they can ask for help too. And, you know, together we can get out of the situations we're in.
Yeah. So, so beautiful. And I just want to also name exactly, that's such a theme that I see, you know, with the men, with the women, that when we do this attachment healing work, that the levels of, sure, we might come in being like, oh, I want a better relationship or I want a partner, right? So it's like that external. But then what happens we see is with the attachment healing work, with the increased internal security, with the healing of the childhood wounds, that the happiness level really increases. Because of course, when you're feeling more confident and self-loving and self-trusting and self-honoring, you're just going to feel more happy and grounded and centered in the world and more empowered to have these, you know, empowering relationships instead of exactly feeling disempowered and feeling like, you know, you have no control over, you know, the way that you behave or the way that you feel in a relationship. And so, yeah, thanks for really bringing this home, this happiness and joy piece, because it is a theme that I see over and over again with my clients. That's, again, one of these unintended consequences of doing the relationship work, the healing work around your internal relationships as well as your external relationship.
Yeah. And I think it just can free you from so much anger. I think before this, I was looking to get back at my dad. And now the insight is just like, okay, you know, like my dad had an interesting childhood too. His dad died when he was 16. And likely that the same thing happened to him, just like it happened to me, where unknowingly I'm doing harm. And that creates a lot of empathy where I'm just, you know, in a much healthier place with that. I just don't have to be angry and just be more understanding and willing to help him in his journey.
Yes. Yeah. So, so beautiful. Thank you so, so much again. So, so wonderful to talk to you today. I'm so, so grateful. And if anyone is listening and you're feeling really inspired to do this work, either one-on-one or in my group coaching program, you can go to empowerlove.us/apply to book your free love breakthrough session. And on that call, we'll really find out kind of what's going on. What are the challenges, both exactly internally as well as externally in your romantic relationships or in your dating life, and how I'm going to help you, how we're going to help you with that, whether one-on-one or the group program. So thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to Rewire Your Attachment Style. This is Maya Diamond. To receive your 2 free gifts to help you on your journey to lasting love and to start rewiring your attachment style today, go to empowerlove.us/love.